As we turn to Daniel and chapter 5. Daniel and chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5, I will read from verse 17 up to 31, Daniel chapter 5. The Bible reads this way. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God, who rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this, and you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drank wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the fingers or the hand we are sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the inscription that was written. Men, Tikeo, Afasin. This is the interpretation of each word. Men, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tikeo, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with paper and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him. that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Yeah, we are going to focus our attention on the latter part of verse 23. And I'll read it again. And in the New International Version, it says, but you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Dear friends, there are important realities that we must remind each other, because we are very strange creatures who deliberately ignore important issues. For example, in terms of an important reality which we cannot ignore is the reality of aging. We are all becoming older and older and older by the day. Last year we were younger than we are today or this year. 10 years ago we were younger than we are at this moment. And there are a number of us in here who love to watch various sporting activities. There are certain men and women who excelled in sports. They were icons. Once upon a time, but not anymore. Whether it be footballers, they were certain people that were so talented, but they cannot play anymore. We have our own Kalusha Bwalya here. He used to be called the great Kalusha. He's an old man now. He can't play. He has gotten older and older, and the energy is gone. You could be talking about boxers. We had Lotte Mali. And he was a wizard, so to say, in the ring. He has since passed on. Catherine Peary, she's no longer what she used to be in boxing. Tennis, you have Tiger Woods. He was so good, but not anymore. And the reason is age has caught up. And everybody knows this fact. But we ignore. We ignore. A few days ago, we have an eldership in a forum, and somebody sneaked in on that forum. You know, some pictures taken for some of the people here, some of us. I mean, looking at them, we could not even recognize some of them. Like Brother Cheta, his teachers there, and you know, Brother Charles Achiwele. We couldn't recognize them. They look different. They were so young, so fresh. But not anymore. There are times, young people, when you look at us, you think we've always been like this. We were like you once upon a time. But not anymore. Friends, this morning, I would like us to consider one of the most important realities, vital realities. It is the reality that God is in total control of our being, as presented in Daniel chapter 5:23c. The God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Two things I'd want us to consider together. Firstly, the vital reality. The vital reality. Secondly, the response to that vital reality. The response to that vital reality. So we shall look at the first one. First, the vital reality. To read again what is said in Daniel chapter 5, verse 23, the latter part. The God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Notice, dear friends, that this God does two things. Firstly, he holds your life. Or KJV puts it, he holds your breath. And that's a better rendering. He holds your breath. But secondly, he holds all your ways. That, dear friends, is a perfect summary of the fact that God is totally in charge of you. To hold is to keep. It is to grasp. To have in one's possession. Therefore, God has your breath, your life, your ways in his hand just now. We'll consider the two things which God does. Firstly, God, dear friends, has your breath or your life in his hand. God has your breath, your life under his disposal. God has your life, your breath under his power, under his control. Friends, this means that God has the power to do away with your life at any time. He controls, he sustains your breath. That which keeps you alive, he sustains it. He can choose to squeeze that breath and you'll be dead. You'll be a corpse. Friends, what God says in Daniel 5:23, the latter part, which was, according to our text, addressed to Belshazzar, is it true about every human being? Every person. whether Christian or non-Christian. And by the way, Belshazzar was not a Christian, and God is telling him these words. That you, even if you're rebellious towards me, I hold your life, your breath, and all your ways in my hand. Friends, even at the time, even at the moment when you are engaged in sin, in cursing God, he holds your life in his hand. Just imagine how gracious God is. You are insulting him. You are engaged in sin, in that which transgresses his law. But he still gives you breath. Imagine how gracious he is. God has in his hand the life of people in various stations. The rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated, everybody, the adults, the children, and the babies. In this matter, the adult is as helpless as the baby. They are both under God's control. They both are not in charge of their life. God is. Imagine. The smallest baby, the youngest baby who is 5 minutes old, and then the parent, the mother, was given birth to that baby. They are both not in charge of their life. God is. Friends, the breath on which our life depends, and which is so frail a thing, is in the hand of a being who is invisible to us. This is a reality, dear friends. And this being whom we can't see holds our breath, holds all our ways. Just now, friends, this being can choose to arrest or stop this breath in his hand when he pleases. This being has given us no slightest clue, indication, when he will stop that breath. He usually does it so suddenly. When we least expect it, he takes it away. Just last Friday, he did that to Mugonde Njovu, who was among us, young, energetic. And I remember the last time we talked was a few months ago. It was up there. It was during the intermediate fellowship. And he asked the questions. There are some of us who were there in that meeting. But he's gone. When he entered this year, he had no clue that his breath would ebb away, that God would squeeze his breath from him. Secondly, friends, God has all your ways in his hand. He doesn't have some ways. The Bible says he has all your ways in his hand. Everything that concerns you is in his hand. In other words, God has power, he has control over all your ways. Even the simple things that we ignore, they are under his control. This morning you woke up, you brushed your teeth, maybe you ate something, you combed your hair. All those are under his control, including the combing of your hair. He decides which hair should drop and which one should not. Friends, those of you who are in school, he enables you to go to school. He enables you to sit in class to understand what the teacher is saying, what the lecturer is saying, to pass exams, to pass tests. He enables you to do that. Likewise, those of us who work, God enables you to do everything that concerns your work. Even when you travel out of your home, you travel out of town, he enables you to do that. And by his providence, he makes it possible for you to get back home. He does that. Friends, the sad thing is how little we all recognize this. That is very, very sad. We hardly recognize that, some of us, that we are at the mercy of God, that he has our breath in his hand and all our ways. We little recognize that. Very, very sad. We don't appreciate this reality. It is the reality. And God was reminding Belshazzar, a non-believer, concerning this reality. And God is reminding you, each one, concerning this reality. He is reminding you this morning, concerning this reality. My second main point is, how should we respond to this reality? What must be the response? Having looked at this reality that God's power sustains our life and our ways, what should be the response, firstly, by those who are unconverted, unbelieving, who are non-Christians? Dear non-Christian friend, you are at the mercy of God. He has your breath in his hand. He can decide to terminate that breath at any time. And that will be the end of you. With all your pride, with all your arrogance, with all your boasting. God sustained you in 2017. Each day of 2017. Each minute of 2017. Each moment of 2017, you have now crossed over to 2018. There is no guarantee that God will sustain you all the days of 2018. There's no guarantee that God will sustain you throughout this year as he did last year. There's no guarantee. None, Christian friend, this underscores the fact that you are in great danger. As a non-Christian, dear friend, you are at enmity with the one who holds your life and all your ways in his hand. Just imagine being at enmity with such a being. You can't continue to live this way. You can't simply afford, dear friend, to continue this kind of life. You can't go on like this. You can't go on like you have done in the past without surrendering your life to Jesus for his salvation. Verse 22 of Daniel chapter 5, we read that Belshazzar did not humble himself before God, though he knew about how God had dealt with his father Nebuchadnezzar. He knew God's dealings with his father, but he ignored that. He did not humble himself. He did not give God the honor that he deserved, even if he knew. He was busy provoking God to anger. Just as a number of you are presently doing. He was busy worshiping idols. Similarly, dear friends, you know about the way of salvation. You have heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus many times. You have heard about how that he came to die in your stead, to die in your place. And that he was raised to life. He conquered sin, the power of sin, the power of death on your behalf. You have heard this. You know, as Belshazzar knew. But alas, you have not honored God. You have not surrendered your life to this God who holds your life in his hand, in obedience to him, putting your faith in Jesus. For those of us who are Christians, what should this vital reality that God's power holds our breath and our ways do to us by way of response? Those of us who are believers, who are born again, this should invoke in us total obedience to God. It must cause us to honor God, to respect God, to live for him, to live for his honor and his glory in 2018. The knowledge the reality that all our ways are not just some of our ways, but all our ways are in God's hands, should cause us to do at least four things. Firstly, to deliberately surrender all our ways to Him, to allow Him to lead us, to allow Him to direct us, including those ways which don't make sense, including those ways about which we ask many questions. Let us allow God to lead us through them. Secondly, we should not be anxious or worried or troubled about any of our ways. Instead, we should be filled with God's peace, because the greatest being is in charge of our ways. Thirdly, God's nearness or presence should be our experience, because He holds us in His hand. We are the most secure, because this greatest being, this greatest power, holds our ways in His hand. And lastly, our faith in God should be strengthened, you know, because He is in charge of our ways. How shall we conclude? This way. The fact that a God holds your breath and all your ways should result in you honoring God. It is an automatic response that God expects from each one of us. It ought to come out spontaneously. It ought to come out without much thought. It ought to be a reflex action, so to say. Friends, God says in our text, but you have not done that. We have rarely done that. We have scarcely done that. Non-Christian friend, you honor God by surrendering your heart to Jesus in faith and repentance. Christian friend, you honor God by walking in obedience in all aspects of your life. The second point, and the last point I want to mention as I conclude, is that I notice the usage or the present continuous sense, or rather tense, the present continuous tense. The Bible says He holds your life and your ways in His hand. He holds! Friends, this shows that our God is at work now, this very moment, sustaining you, upholding your life. God is at work all the time. Just imagine, God gives you His personal attention all the time, including this very moment. He's giving you all His attention. You are totally, therefore, at His mercy. How shall you respond? How shall you respond? In 2018, amen.